Well, hello and welcome. It is episode 57 of 90 Minute Life. It's Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. We welcome you on this lovely Tuesday evening. I'm Josh Petrowski, and joined as always is my brother Paul. How's it going?
Good.
Good. This is our next episode of 90 Minute Life. Lots to talk about, lots of off-season movement around of players and coaches, and
it's going to be
a very interesting upcoming season, and we're going to talk about the current as much of the current news. Very cavalry heavy this episode, which is good because that's our team. So
yeah,
with a little bit of Pacific and a little bit of York thrown in there for some flavor. And yeah,
and I guess before, and I forgot to let you know this, so this is the first time you'll be hearing this.
Cool.
So okay. Our distribution has changed.
Oh, okay.
The platforms that we're available on has changed.
Cool.
So I'll just do that quickly.
Sure.
Yeah. So we're still on Apple, Google, Overcast, Breaker, but now we're on one called Castbox.
Oh, cool. Okay.
We're still on Pocket Casts. We're still on Radio Public. And then now we're on one called Stitcher.
Oh, Stitcher is awesome.
Yeah. And I want to know, I swear I've heard of that one before. I'm pretty terrible when it comes to like other.
And what about Overcast? I don't know if you mentioned Overcast.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah. So looks like we got a couple new additions to the, to where you can find our podcast. That's awesome. Cool.
I thought we always, because there's 2, 4, 6, 8 here. Was it always 8? Because I was trying, when I saw this, I was like, wait a second. Castbox and Stitcher, are those new or did those take over something? And I don't remember.
I think those are new.
Yeah, I don't remember them.
Definitely new. Mind you, so now Stitcher, it's new for us to be on Stitcher.
Yeah,
but they are not...
I mean, yeah, I know they've been around for a while. That much they've I been do know for, on Stitcher, yeah.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time. They're pretty big when it comes to podcasts, and that's awesome. So
you know what? We were always on 6, and that's 2 more.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's cool. So now I guess you can find us if you've always wanted to listen to us on Stitcher, because that's your favorite distribution. That's where you like to get your podcasts, and good for us, I guess. So, fantastic.
Yeah.
Before we get into our topics and what we're going to talk about, let's start the episode the way that we've always been starting, and give hate and racism middle fingers, and take a minute, and we'll do that now.
Sweet.
Cool. Extra couple seconds there for some good karma. yeah, racism sucks and hatred sucks, so let's all enjoy the company and uniqueness of each other. But
that's right.
We got a lot to talk about. What do you say we run into our table of content on?
What do you mean? Sorry, now I'm not.
Oh, just what are we talking about this episode?
Oh, jeez. Doy.
We're a little rusty. It's okay.
No, this is why we need scripts, or maybe this is what,
Nah.
Maybe this is what makes us unique is the fact of like, wait, what did you say? Oh yeah.
One take only.
But yeah, well, like, so forget the last 6 seconds. As Josh mentioned in the beginning, it'll be very cavalry heavy because they kind of just came out of the woodwork and I'm like, oh yeah, here's everyone wants roster updates. Here's everything all at once.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. I mean,
pretty much like we're just announced the entire team all at once. So there's that. There's some stuff on the York United front that kind of ties in with cavalry.
Oh, yeah.
And then Pacific FC, probably for me, the surprise of the offseason.
For the moment, yeah. Yeah.
Like absolute surprising.
Yeah.
And then what else? Oh yeah, some League One Ontario news. There's some interesting reformatting, I guess if you will, of their league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see what else. And then just random roster moves.
Yeah. Yeah, from across the league type of thing. Yeah. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, I kind of just want to get right into cavalry.
Sure. Yeah. Hell yeah. Absolutely.
So they pretty much came out of the woodwork since our last episode, and they did two roster announcements. Each of, let's say we got four. So they announced was 11 players.
The first one was the, they're calling it the key core pieces. I'm reading the headline of the article right off of Cavalry's website.
That's it's nine players, I believe, right?
11.
Or, oh yeah, sorry, 11 players right off the bat.
Yeah, right off the bat, there was 11. And then there's one that they're calling, and that was from yesterday, called the, I love the name too. It's
the Fab Four.
Fab Four, yeah. It reminds me of the, of like boy band days from when we were in school. And I think I might've just dated of how old we are, but because boy bands aren't really cool anymore, but going back to the,
you know, well, what was it? Me and my kid, we were playing Minecraft and then I forget what I was doing and it was funny. And it reminded me of, there was the Spice Girls song, Two Become One. Even though that song is completely about, well, it's about fucking essentially, but like I forget what I was doing in Minecraft, and now this just sounds a lot weird. And
that's
but the
funny.
Whole point was dating yourself, and it's like, oh yeah, well, you know, Spice Girls kind of entered my head a couple days ago.
That's awesome. Yeah, Spice Girls were awesome. I mean, I think they're still doing stuff. They're all kind of doing their individual thing.
They're doing their zig-a-zig and whatever. So anyway.
So who did?
So well, let's do new.
Yeah.
Newest first. So coming back is Jose Escalante, Ben Fisk, Victor Latorre, and Dan Klomp.
Yeah. So they're the official Fab Four, which now we need t-shirts.
So like all. So pretty much, like I know in our last episode, we talked about who we wanted to come back and stuff, and we mentioned all four of those players. So I'm glad that all four of them are coming back.
Yeah, I'm really excited that, so for this four, because so there was for Ben Fisk, I was worried that he would re-enter free agent status in this offseason.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that, and let's say he was a free agent for all of 4 days. And also with the this four announcement, they each have an option for to re-up the following season as well. It's listed right at the right in the article too. So it's not just there's a potentiality for more than just for this season yet. So we could see we could get a third season from Fisk. You know,
yeah,
we could get a third season for Klomp and Latorre, so and Escalante's.
Well, I mean, even he's... Dan Klomp, like I'm wondering too, because I would love to stay, or I would love for him to stay, long term. Because I was, I think it was at the end of this article, Tommy Wheeldon Jr. head coach and general manager, for people who don't know, of Cavalry FC.
Yeah.
He pretty much said, so, you know, with these announcements that we've been doing, it kind of secures us for the, for, or at least it achieves short-term goals and long-term goals. And I hope Dan Klomp is one of the long-term.
Yeah.
But what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I agree. He's really good.
Yeah. Because looking at his age, he's 23 years old. I mean, with the season he had last year, barring, and then if this one starts off with like no complications and no bubbles and everything starts off nice.
Yeah.
And we get like an actual non-COVID obstructed season.
Yeah.
Maybe we get a couple seasons out of him, develop him really, or maybe not so much develop him, but maybe develop him more.
Yeah.
And maybe he's brought in as like a cash cow, kind of.
Okay.
You know.
Like a player that, I don't get, like, when you...
He'll be in the next Joel Waterman.
Oh, like a player that we end up...
Perform really well, make sure we up his value so we can get a nice transfer fee.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I also wouldn't, but, and that kind of stuff happens all the time. Like, you can kind of see the players that have done that. And I know this kind of breaks away from the Cavalry conversation, but very, very quick sideline.
Sure.
Case in point of this happening is Lucas McNaughton.
Yeah, yeah.
He just signed to TFC.
Yeah. That's huge, and I'm sure that was some very nice change for Pacific FC.
Exactly. Like
they made some bank off that, so that's awesome.
Every time we saw Lucas McNaughton,
he was so good.
Two things: shout out to the guys in front of, or to the husband and wife that sat in front of us. We all kind of made like an Doyle rules.
Yeah.
So if you've watched, anybody who's watched Billy Madison,
yeah,
every time if there was a long ball coming into the box or just anything coming in, he was just there and he always got it, and you could see him being like, "Oh, Doyle rules," every time he did something.
Yeah, just insert McNaughton rules for Doyle rules, and you're on the money. Yeah, it's. He was all, and I mean, his size works out too, because he's like super tall, but yes, for this particular thing, Dan Klomp could be who in a couple years or so,
yeah,
you know, maybe he moves on to like a Vancouver Whitecaps or something, or a pick insert your favorite MLS club here or something, or another league or something.
Well, Mo Farsi is kind of doing that.
Yeah, so
he went over. So we lost Mo Farsi to. Did we mention where he was going in our last episode?
No, he hadn't. They hadn't come out and said where yet.
Okay,
that happened a day or two afterwards. Or
yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So yes. and now I almost forget. He went to Denver.
Dallas. Oh no! Sorry, not Denver.
Dallas.
Oh, no, sorry. That's. I'm getting all the MLS news mixed up because there's been so much MLS CPL stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Now I got to put...
You know what? I'm quickly going to Google it.
I know. We're terrible.
I didn't know he was going to come up. I should have known. He went to... Oh, come on. Let me be able to find it easy. He went to,
because I know it was like a league, it's their second team. All right, he goes to bum, ba, dum, ba.
It's loading. He went to. Oh, come on.
Well, I'm looking at it right here.
Where is the name? I found an article, and it's. Oh, he went to Columbus.
Columbus, yeah, Columbus Crew. That's it. To their second team.
Yeah, Crew 2 in Columbus.
Yeah.
Man, apologies for those listening. That took a moment. Sorry about that, but At the last second, I forgot which one it was. Was it Columbus? Was it Denver? Or was it Dallas? Uh-oh.
So just, I hope we got a little bit. Sucks that he went, but, I guess, that's another surprise. I said the biggest surprise, we'll save that one later. Mm-hmm. That's a surprise. Mo Farsi going to a second team in the MLS. That's just...
Yeah. I guess it's more of just maybe... It was one of those things where I just wanted him to just get one more season out of him because he was always fun to watch. And, I'm very selfish when it comes to Mo Farsi because it's like, I selfishly want him on our team. But
back to
shout out to Mo Farsi and good luck to you.
But I guess back to what we were talking about. I'm always excited for Jose Escalante. I know there's mixed feelings for him, but he's awesome. He's the pain in the ass that we need. But I think he upgraded last year.
Yeah, last season he
seemed a bit more toned down.
Well, I was gonna say maybe he more. I think he's slowly going into more of a leadership role, among the squad. I think because he's part of the longest running cavalry crew right now. There's how many has been since the inaugural season? Is there six left? Or so, somewhere in there, I mean, I think there's more than six, but it's less than 10.
But I'm excited for him to come back because he's one of our enforcers.
Yeah, and when he's on his game, he's on his game, and he's always fun to watch. So, yeah, very excited that he's coming back. And Ben Fisk.
Ben Fisk. I'm glad that he's coming back. I was like, oh, I really hope we get him back because to see a full season out of him, and I think his link-up play with Mason will be good.
Well,
oh, shit. Okay, that just spoiled with the next.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm sure everybody knows by now, though.
Yeah, but it's going to be nice that we can get a second season out of Ben Fisk, who now that he's got a season under his belt with Cavalry and how Cavalry plays. So now it's like, all the, a lot of the, learning of how the team plays and finding his role in the squad and that, that stuff has been settled. You know what I mean? So now it's just, how can I take what I did last year and let's take that dial, let's spinal tap it and go to 11, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Dan Klomp, we were just talking about him, but I just like saying that name and it'll be fun to watch him play again. And Latorium. Oh, I'm really excited.
And to all other leagues that may listen to us, probably not. But just in case, you can't have him.
Yeah,
even though I said that maybe he's like, we could like maybe get a transfer fee out of him. No. Hands off.
That's awesome.
Victor Latorium, though. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm excited that he's coming back. And along with the returning crew from the core of the 11.
Well, shit, because he
slides in with all the players that are announced in the next 11. Do you mind if I run down the names?
Well, I just want to say the first three.
Okay.
So coming back is Ali Moussi, which is awesome because he got injured at he just started firing and then got injured.
Yeah.
Sergio Camargo, always nice to come back. That's great. I hope we get a full
season. Yeah.
I want to see a full season of Camargo and then we get Anthony Novak back.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Oh, man. That's probably, I don't care what anyone else thinks. I love the fact that we got Novak back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if Anthony Novak, if you're listening, we would love to have you on the podcast.
Absolutely. And you know what? That goes for any player in Cavalry FC.
You know what? We could all we can have you all on the podcast. And just, but I'm super, 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 super excited about Anthony Novak just because a whole season of that smile is perfect.
Yeah. The remaining players in that same core. We have Marco Carducci and Tyson Farago, both in goal. Tom Field, which is great. David Norman Jr., which is fantastic. Elliot Simmons, who is
always
fun to watch.
That's a third season now we get out of him.
Yeah. Speaking of smiles, Elijah Adekubi, which is I really hope that his injury is going well and that he can hit the pitch and make some waves again. Joe Mason, which is great.
Oh man.
Yeah. Joseph DiChiara, I know sometimes he can poke the bear a bit, you know.
So if maybe there's
hopefully doesn't do any choke slams on anybody.
Okay, so
maybe he does. I don't know.
I'm just gonna I just have to air this part out. And I gotta get this out in the open.
Okay.
To all our listeners who watch any league of football, whether it's the English Premier League, Canadian Premier League, MLS, La Liga, Ligue 1, Serie A.
Mm-hmm.
Every single player, and even your favorite team, and I'm talking to everybody, your favorite team has that one player that takes professional fouls every time and gets suspended 5 games in because they just got accumulation. Every single team has it. Every single team has a player that throws a crazy challenge because someone's about to go on the break. And then you yell at the TV and you're like, why? Well, that's his job. There's always that one player that's just hanging out by the corner and then sees a scuffle going on, runs in, and throat punches people.
Yeah.
Like, they're called enforcers. Every sport has it. Hockey mostly, but actually football, as in like soccer. There's a lot of it. There is a ton. Arsenal, Granit Xhaka. He's our enforcer. He's the guy that goes in and just roadhouses people. Because that's his thing. That's his bread and butter. So Joseph DiChiara, he goes in there and he makes those reckless challenges. I don't even call them reckless, but I guess they are. But he knows what he's doing. So sorry to everybody that doesn't like the fact and likes to complain, but it's like, well, you know what? He's our Ty Domi. Yeah, nice. He is. Sorry, that sounded a little bit more ranty than it should have been. But
that's okay.
I feel that for some reason people watch soccer, and then it's kind of like they forget how it works. It's like, well, every sport has every sport has what's called the enforcer. Or I don't want to call it a goon because that makes it sound really disrespectful. But it's just the guy that does shit. He's the one you bring on your team to be like, all right, well,
go start some shit.
You're probably going to get a bunch of yellow cards. That's fine. You know,
go rile up the other team.
Well, and that he'll do a challenge that he won't get caught for, but like it'll be a complete huge challenge. And the whole point of it is to piss off the other team, to get them all hyped up. They do something stupid. They get called for it. Maybe we're in a scoring position. You know, that's that's the nature of the game. That's not the nature of the game. Sorry. It's an aspect of the game and it's a necessary evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I get it. I get you.
Now, I say that, and then what's going to happen is he'll do one of those, and then we'll have an episode. I'll be like, ah, rah, 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 Joseph DiChiara.
That'd be funny. And you probably will too. But yeah, I'm glad that all these guys are coming back.
Yeah, I'm glad that all of them, because everybody so far on this list, I wanted all these people back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not too many people that aren't coming back that I didn't want to come back. All the people that were on my list of who I wanted to come back, they've come back. Like, there's very few that left that I'm like, ah, fuck. Like, there's really only two out of the few. Well, there's a bunch more than that, but three very specifically. One we're going to talk about tonight. One we just mentioned with Mo Farsi. And CF Montreal, Khalifa Yao. So I really, now, Khalifa Yao, like, that situation was he got awesome, and then CF Montreal's like, hell yeah, that was his job and role. He got awesome, and now we want him back. So I was like,
well,
okay.
It's that's what Alone is, and it's
yeah, so
it is true.
That's cool.
Shout out to the 109, one particular person who brought this up. You don't ever fall in love with a lone player, and it's true.
It's true, yeah.
You
yeah.
don't fall in love with the lone players, because mm-hmm. unless there's an option to buy them,
they will inevitably go back, and then,
yeah,
yeah.
And I'm almost certain that because he's with CF Montreal, you know, they probably hold a big value on him. So
yeah,
it's probably a little bit out of our reach. So,
but outside of that, everyone that I've wanted to see back is in these two articles of coming back. So it's like,
yeah.
Holy crap. Like that's fantastic.
Like, I hope, you know? I want to see more competition between Marco Carducci and Tyson Farago. Like I really want to see Marco pushed for that starting role.
Yeah,
I mean that as not that I think he shouldn't start.
I know what you mean.
Little bit that we got to see of Farago, it's just like I kind of wanted to see more.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned that in we talked about that in the previous article. So
yeah,
we can direct people to that if they want to hear all thoughts on it. But it would be nice to see. Well, really, I want to see who is doing better. Really, if Marco Carducci has a fantastic season, then it's like, yeah, let's go Marco Carducci. Absolutely. If Tyson Farago gets a start, let's say he plays one game, gets a massive clean sheet, and we score 5 goals in that game, I'm gonna be like, holy shit. Maybe start Farago for another game and see what happens.
Yeah.
but it's great that we got, like, obviously both are great keepers. And
it's a good problem to have. You want to be like Tommy Wheeldon. He wants to on any given game day to be like, oh man, who do I start in goal? They're both so awesome.
That is
a very good problem to have of like, oh shit, I have two really good starters.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and he just, Tommy Wheeldon Jr. just re-signed enough of our top strikers from last season where it's like I can mess around with all my formations.
Oh, man.
Pick a dream striking squad.
I was so worried that Ben Fisk, Joe Mason, and Anthony Novak wouldn't come back. I was just like, oh, man. You know, what if they don't go? Because now Ben Fisk and Sergio Camargo.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm a huge fan of, I'm going to throw formations out there. So I'm a huge fan of the 4-5-1. You have 4 defenders, 5 in the midfield, or sorry, 4 midfielders. And then you pretty much have like between your midfield and wingers. And then you have 1 striker.
Okay.
But I also like a 3-5-2. 3 defenders. So you have a left back, center back, right back.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got your midfield. Then you got 2 strikers up front. Because I almost like throw Joe Mason and Sergio Camargo both up there. Get Sergio Camargo Novak and Mason, and then get Camargo and Ben Fisk, Elliot Simmons. Get them all in the midfield. Throw Elijah Adekube in there. Just stack them all in there and see what happens.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Half of our midfield are like very attack-minded. We have a very attack-minded midfield too. So it's just like, yeah, like let's go and like remember the hockey movie, The Mighty Ducks, and it's just like all the players form a flying V and they just rush the net.
Yeah, do that.
What's the soccer equivalent of that? Let's do that.
I guess forget about what foot they hit with. All the center midfielders, you're all wingers, and you're all who cares? Everyone out there.
Yeah, we could call it the.
Forget it. You're a center midfielder now. Get all the strikers out there.
What would that be called in cavalry terms? That could be called
like the charge or something.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, the cavalry charge. The
cavalry charge.
Yeah, I like.
And
that.
You know what? And who was ever in goal? Guess what? You're now you're a defender. Now you're running up.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know what, though? I think there's a rule on that. I know in the English Premier League, I think there's a rule. But I've always kind of wondered with, depending upon if you're on the counter, and if you're really, really good, like if you're really pressing up and you get opportunities, I mean, why not have the – it's hugely risky. It's like the equivalent of pulling your goalie in hockey.
Yeah, of course.
But get the –
Get the keeper out there.
Get the keeper out there and have it.
Get him in the mix.
Yeah, or even for like corners at the other end of the field.
Hell yeah!
There's another guy jumping in there. Now, obviously, if the other team get the ball and okay, I get it. You could be hugely screwed, and then you got your keeper just like tracking all the way back.
100%. There's the opportunity here for like massive craziness happening.
Yeah. But it's I don't know, like if I was a coach, I would try it. If there's a corner in the opponent's end, I'm like, screw it, you get up there.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Yeah, but don't like go right into the box, but just hang out on the point and maybe the ball comes to you, you can like head it in or a little knock or a pass, and then you just run back to your net, you're fine. You don't do anything but stand there all game anyway, so you may as well get some exercise. Not saying that they don't do anything, but
I know like, what you mean.
Yeah,
like, I know what you mean.
They definitely.
But you know what though, it's the games where the keeper has has not much to do and he's just kind of chilling and hanging out because the rest of his team is up at the other end scoring all kinds of goals in the opposing team. Like, hey, you know what? That's a good day for the keeper if he's like, you know what? I'm not doing anything, and you know we've just scored like four goals. It's like, hell yeah!
Everybody should go on YouTube and then YouTube Aaron Ramsdale. So he's the goalkeeper for Arsenal.
Okay.
He kind of took it over for Bern Leno.
Okay.
Just watch clips of him. He'll be standing in his goal, obviously, or maybe just a little bit out a bit, just in his box. And he'll be yelling at players being like, what the fuck? He's throwing his arms up, being like, what the shit? What are you doing? Pass to that guy. Or like, wait. Or the attack fizzles out, and you'll just see him just yelling and jumping up and down, and he's just running around in his net, being like, holy fuck, that's awesome.
Nice. That's cool.
But anyway, yeah. I just think, get the...
Flying V.
Everyone probably thinks that maybe we're on drugs, but I mean, like,
nope.
Hey, get the keeper in there.
No, nope. I mean, I had a cup of coffee, but that's all I've had. But while we're talking about players coming back, I just remember that this happened. The U Sports draft just happened, and I got the two draft picks that Cavalry picked up.
Okay.
Just because I forgot to mention earlier that I wanted to quickly bring this up. Cavalry FC picked 6th and 14th and picked up two local guys. First from Mount Royal University, Caden Rogozinski, and Marcus Kaiser from the University of British Columbia. And I believe that's...
Oh, excuse me.
Bless you.
Sorry if they got really loud.
It's pretty funny, actually. Threw off my train of thought. But
sorry.
This is Daniel Kaiser's brother.
Yeah.
Marcus Kaiser. So that's
awesome.
That's really cool. So a couple draft picks there. So we'll see. If they end up... they'll probably hit the pitch here. I don't know how I hope they I've never seen him play, so I have no idea, you know.
And I've been trying to find out, and my questions have gone unanswered.
Okay.
I'm trying to find out if Cavalry are on a preseason thing somewhere.
Oh. Okay, yeah.
But you know, with COVID still being kind of shitty, I don't know if they're allowing them to do it.
My guess would be no,
but
maybe we can find out eventually. But
so, because you know, training camp is probably due to start soon.
Well, it's almost February, so
yeah, like it's
that's wild. And it's almost February.
Yeah.
And then what do you have left? March, and then maybe an April start. Like that's wild.
We should be.
We're like an inch away from starting the season. That's how close we are. That's so wild.
Like, if it was supposed to be like it was if we kick off when we were supposed to last season, like the last week of March, we should be kicking off.
Yeah, I'm hoping and thinking maybe somewhere around like an end of March, early April type thing. So.
And if it's not March, we've kind of always started in April.
Yeah.
Or at least the inaugural season was April. When was the that bubble tournament in Winnipeg? When did that start?
The fall.
That was late. May. Was that May?
No, I thought it was like the fall, like or maybe even late summer.
I don't remember when that was now.
Yeah. We've only had one April start, and that was the inaugural season.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was May. Yeah, maybe that was May. But they wanted an April start in 2020, but then
that was supposed to be a late March start.
Yeah, somewhere around there. But we all know what happened in 2020. So,
supposed to be a late March, and then I think last year was the same thing. It was supposed to be late March, like the last week of March.
Yeah,
that's when some teams were kicking off, and I think Cavalry was supposed to kick off like it was like March 25th or something like that.
Maybe.
Somewhere in there, I think my dates could be, and if someone, feel the need to correct me if I'm wrong. But anyway, if it is somewhere around there, training camp should be starting soon. And I hope they get some kind of preseason. Though we learned last season, it doesn't really matter because look what happened to Atletico Ottawa.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with them.
So
we look forward to seeing them, though. But shout out to these two draft picks though to get back into it for just a quick second. It's always good to see young local talent come up, and I mean that this is why the league this is like one of the core tenets of the league is to bring up local guys like this from different universities and give them a pro shot. So
yeah,
and I mean, if Marcus Kaiser is as good as his brother is, I mean, I'm really looking forward to that because Daniel Kaiser's awesome. So,
well, that's 17. That's 17 that's, players we got now. So,
well, that's almost six. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 17.
That's 17 players we got now. That's almost
a squad.
That's almost a full roster. So, I like that we got like 15 players back. Like, that's huge.
Yeah, yeah, because you have a lot of last year's squad to come back, which that helps to increase chemistry and relationships and locker room gelling and really cool pairings on the pitch and stuff. And then you spice it up with whoever they decide to bring in, whether it's other players from other teams or some international players in various positions, and you've got yourself I think I've said this every preseason for Cavalry FC, but it's like, man, look at the squad. It's cool.
Yeah, I know. Every time it's like, oh yeah, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
We just got to work on some finishing, but they know that. So if we know that, they know that. Yeah.
100%. What do you say we dive into one of the three most surprised, three really surprising things.
Can we go with the really surprising one?
Do it.
Okay. Pamadou Ka is just like, yeah, I'm going to leave Pacific FC and I'm going to join FC Dallas of the MLS. What the shit?
Yeah. I mean,
that was not a bad what the shit. Just like, wait, what? You won a championship and wait, what?
Yeah, like it's surprising. It's unexpected and not expected all at the same time, which is what leads to just a couple of questions of timing, but otherwise I'm surprised but not surprised of
surprised.
He's done what he wanted to do. He achieved it maybe faster than he thought he would. So he's like, "Oh."
Like, okay. He obviously feels that they're in a good position for Like, I don't think he would just leave if they were in the shitter.
No.
So they're obviously in a position where he thinks, you know what, I can pass it off to my successor now.
Yeah, and that is James Merriman.
Which was his assistant, so...
That was his assistant. Well, he's been on... I'm trying to quickly skim through, so I'm on canpl.ca, and I'm skimming through very quickly to get to... here we go. So, Merriman, he's been with the club since August of 2018, it seems. So, like, he's been there for their entirety of, like, that club from the ground up. So he's worked with everybody. He worked with Silberbauer, and he worked with Pamuduka. So
yeah, like,
so shout out. So it's so shout out to Merriman. It's kind of, and also good on Pamuduka. They kept it in the family. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I guess I'm just so. You just won.
Yeah.
Why would you just? Because now, holy shit! I actually don't. I would not want to be in Jason's shoes.
James.
Or James, sorry, I would not want to be in his shoes.
Well, I mean, he's going to want to prove that he's the guy. You know what I mean? So he's going to be like, I'm the guy. I was named the guy, but I want to show you that I'm the guy. I'm the one that can, you know what? Forge did it.
And then
I can be the one to make Pacific do it and get back-to-back championships.
Well, at least, you know what? Bobby Skriniotis, though, two championships, he still hasn't left yet. Like, so out of the, I guess I'm going to call them the inaugural coaches. You got Smirniotis left. Tommy Wheeldon left. And you have Stephen Hart.
Yeah, just those three.
That's it.
They're holding down the...
holy shit, man.
The inaugural seven.
Yeah, that's it.
Four down, three left. Yeah. Yeah, but and you know, look and at... you know what's wild? Yeah, sorry, you know, I don't want to interrupt, but
nope.
But you know what's wild is that the four new coaches this season, there's three of them are brand new going into their first year on their club, with the only one being he came in at the last couple weeks of the previous season was Phil DeSantos for Valor. He's the only one that he's also brand new, hasn't had a full season, but he did have a couple weeks there coaching out Valor FC to end off their season. And then, but otherwise four brand new coaches for this season. So, and we still don't know who is, no word on Atletico Ottawa of who they've, if they've hired anybody yet. So
like, and they,
oh, and I guess we do have, he's not an inaugural coach, but we have the returning coach for FC Edmonton.
Yeah, but I meant like
to round out the eight coaches of next year. So
yeah, I just meant that at the original, like at the inaugural season, there's only three left.
Yeah, Jeff Paulus.
And now this makes the third coach for Pacific. So every season they've had a new coach.
Just about, yeah. Because
and in the first season they didn't even Silberbauer didn't even last the whole season.
No, Pamuduka coached out Pacific FC in the inaugural season.
Got, no, the assistant did.
Or
I
forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was.
I don't know if it was James Merriman. I don't know if he saw it out or somebody else.
He, according to the article, he did. He has been on the touchline a couple times in various parts of the past, but I don't think it's been anything too extreme, unless I'm wrong and I'm going from memory. I'm trying not to like spend a bunch of dead air time and reading through the article live. Like I have read it, but it's one of those things where once you start recording, everything you had in your memory, 5% of it stays, the other 95% disappears.
Yeah exactly.
but yeah, it's going to be an interesting season just because there's so many new coaches. It's going to be wild.
Well, and we still don't know what's going on with Edmonton.
Like, well, then they've got their ownership thing going on.
They've got no not a whole lot of news coming out of Edmonton, but I guess to continue with Pacific, like they're going to have an interesting season. You know, they lose Lucas McNaughton, Victor Blasco. They lost, who was it? Taron Campbell, I think, is gone. Ollie Bassett, is gone too.
Yeah.
If I, just pull up their thing here. So, yeah. So, those guys, and then they lost Alessandro Hadjipour.
Yeah.
Boscovich is gone. Robert Boscovich, Duren Lee. So.
Yeah, they've a couple key guys have moved on. Yeah, they're gonna be an interesting team to watch next year. Of course, we say it every year.
Yeah, exactly.
but you know what though? This is what makes this exciting though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like this is wild. You know what the other? So we've touched on two of the three surprising things. There's one other one, and we actually. It happened in between our last episode and this episode, and it's the third most surprising thing.
Yeah.
And perhaps one of the more surprising things, but also kind of expected, but it's about the league as a whole and not just a particular club. I know we didn't mention it when we were talking off air of what we were going to talk about, but do you want to quickly talk about the fact that we might have a new commissioner of the whole league?
Oh shit! That's right.
We didn't talk. We haven't had the chance to talk about that.
Yeah,
in an
that's
episode.
Right. Oh man, this episode just got longer.
So, the Canadian Premier League will eventually here very soon have a new headmaster.
Yeah,
you know, David Klanikin has. When he gets a replacement, he will step down and then move forward with a new expansion in Windsor, Essex County. And he will be then just be an owner, because that would be a conflict of interest if he was an owner plus commissioner. So, and I think that's where he retires his, lengthy soccer career. He'll be like, you know what, I want to start a league and then I want to end it as an owner of a club and then, you know, retire as an old man and go fishing. Yeah. And hang out with my grandkids and my great grandkids. So that happened.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was like a day or something after I texted you, like, so we just like forgot to announce a big thing of news, and then we almost forgot again.
Almost.
Like, that's some of the biggest news, just to be like, oh yeah, by the way, so David Klanikin stepping down and he's going to head up a new expansion. Oh yeah, by the way, new expansion team.
So I look at David Klanikin and I look at it as the Canadian Premier League has it's a three-step, look at it like if it has a three-step plan. Step one, start the league. Then there's step two, and then there's step three, which is it's in every province and it's hugely successful. David Klanikin did step one, got it to the doorway of step two, where, okay, we've got a league, it's successful, but to get it to the in every province and get it to the ultimate goals of being everywhere in the country and being hugely successful, that's going to take another person. I'm the start guy. I did that. And to give him a pat on the back, did it very well. Like we're going into the fourth season of a, at least to my lens, a very successful league. It's here to stay. Like it's attracted huge talent, both local and international. Atletico Madrid decided to step in with being the head of Atletico Ottawa. And who knows what the next version of that means. You know what I mean? Like maybe another club from another league decides to pull in Atletico Madrid and be like, hey, can we sponsor a team too? And we're like, well, just by chance, we've got these guys right here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So shout out to David Klanikin. We have a league that me and you can bullshit about on a podcast for an hour and a half a week. Like, how cool is that? You know, we get to yak about a Canadian, only Canadian top flight pro league in Canada.
Yeah.
Like a top flight pro soccer league in Canada, and we can talk about it every week or every 2 weeks because we skip a week sometimes. But and then there's news of there'll be eventually Windsor Essex will enter the fray. So yeah, it's just wild. That's wild. And I have like who do you get? Like what type of person do you go after? Do you
I mean, you'd want someone that will,
I mean, you got to get a businessy guy.
But you got to get someone that'll continue the vision of David Klanikin, but then you also want someone who's going to make it their own too.
Yeah.
Well,
they've got to have the love for the game and the love for Canada and growing the game. And that's where the vision comes in, and they have to have
Don Cherry.
I don't know. Maybe. I've no idea.
I'm just kidding. But I'm half kidding.
Yeah. But I think it's someone in soccer.
Yeah, like as for ideas, I have no idea.
I've got no idea. I was trying to just describe the kind of person that you go after.
Well, I mean, I guess forefront. Like you need someone who's got a passion for soccer.
Yeah.
If they're just going to look at CPL as, you know, something to line their pockets, or something to, you know, maybe they're an asshole in the real world and they can use it. It's called sports washing. You know, you don't want to get somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, somebody who's passionate for the game, passionate for the country, and passionate for wanting to grow the sport in Canada and developing players. And then you mix in all the other things.
Jonathan Herdman. Yeah. Herdman.
Yeah. Like as long as he's good with like business and numbers and,
or someone in,
you need someone like that too.
Or someone in the existing Canada soccer sphere. So maybe someone who very much knows Jonathan Herdman and runs in those circles. Yeah, that'd be, yeah.
Tommy Wilden Jr.
I mean, he gets my vote.
I actually, totally. I think he could run a league.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he'd want to, but I mean, like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. So that,
it'll be interesting on who,
mm-hmm,
on who the next one is.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you're right though. All those things, like they've got to be the love for the game, the love for Canada soccer, continuing to want to put Canada and Canada soccer on the map, and then someone who believes in the league and believes in what it can be for Canadians and for the world. Heck yeah.
And then, you know, and then you also want someone who's going to like listen to the players too, because, you know, I think the next step, honestly, is the league should take, we could probably dedicate a whole episode to this, so I won't go into too much detail about it, but I think the league should strongly look into a players union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
If the league is getting this popular and if it's getting this big, you know, players want to protect themselves.
Of course.
Obviously. And I think a players union is something that should be strongly, strongly, strongly looked at.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree. Christine Sinclair.
Oh yeah, man.
She's got my vote.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. What, is there any other news that we missed? Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, we didn't make it all the way to York yet.
Yeah.
do you want to jump into that?
Yeah. What the hell, Oliver Minutel, going to York United? Jeez. You guys take Giantstopoulos.
Yeah.
You got Zator.
Yeah.
Now you got our assistant coach, who's now Martin your head Nash. Coach.
Yeah.
And then now you take Oliver Minutel. Get yeah. your own guys, man. Jeez. Are we just like your feeder club now?
So funny. It's awesome. I mean, the exciting part is that we'll still get to see him play in the league. But yeah, it's just, yeah, that's how wild is that, eh? when I saw that, I was like, wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
Well, when it was announced that Martin Nash wasn't coming back, when he's leaving to be the
head coach
of York United, and then Oliver Minutel, not too long after that, you know, his contract wasn't renewed. It's like, oh, well, he has a long relationship with Martin Nash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's funny. I actually don't think that I think there's room for one more, maybe one or more past Cavalry players for this upcoming season to still make the trek over to play for York United. So,
oh, yeah, who do you think is going to go over there?
Maybe if he wants to make a comeback, but if he wants to kind of also have a fresh start.
Oh.
What about a Nico Pasquati?
No, he's not allowed. We get his long throw. We own okay. his long throw.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm half kidding.
As far as who else, who is in that initial five with Mo Farsi? And that was, there was Jose Hernandez.
Richard Luca.
Do you think maybe they, as an international striker, maybe one of those guys goes to York United, or do you think there's a shot there?
Maybe. I mean, it's anyone's guess, really.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to think of, I'm blanking on some names from like the Island Games year. But like guys who didn't sign with Cavalry for just the season that just ended.
So like Dean Northover?
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, where did he go? I don't remember. I have now. No, it's idea. Been so long. But if we're just kind of throwing some names out there, I wouldn't be surprised if players who played for Cavalry squads in years past, if they end up going to York United, I think that'd be wild. And even at the end of this next season, if someone decides, you know what, I've been on Cavalry for a bit now, I'm gonna go play for York United. Like,
maybe, yeah. Like,
so weird, but that's really cool though. It's just funny. What I am glad though is that at least they're kept in the league. So whether it's York United or like it's, you know, Valor or something, I'm just glad that Oliver Minutel is. I'm glad that he's staying in the Canadian Premier League, and that's for completely selfish reasons. If he had wanted to go to like the MLS or something, or a giant Brazilian league or something, that would have been cool too. Just as me wanting to see him play, I'm very glad that he's staying in the league. And if it's York United, it's York United.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really cool. I just think that's so wild that there's such a deep Cavalry connection now to York United.
Jeez.
And I mean, it's capped off with the fact that Martin Nash is their head coach, which I still can't get over that. That's really cool.
That's going to be funny.
In a good way. Yeah. Pardon? Your microphone cut out there for a second.
Oh, I said, yeah, like that'll be interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be wild to see Martin Nash repping York United. I'm excited. I'm really excited. I say it every season, but it's like I'm really excited for this upcoming season. There's such change.
Well, I like that we did some pretty decent. We did a lot of moves last season. So yeah, I like that we have a huge core coming into this year.
Well, and that's the wild. So I was going to say, look at the. So what do you think of the? I'm going to try to figure out how to phrase this question, but in saying that there's such change in the league, but seeing how much of Cavalry is coming back from the previous season, what does that feel like to you? Like for me, like that's, I really like the fact that Cavalry has such a connection to last season. Whereas it seems the rest of the league is like, there's so much change. Like half the teams have new coaches, you know? Like, what do you think?
Oh, no, that's great. And I think that's kind of what, that's what Tommy has done. It's just like, you know, maybe he's really good at, I know this is very vague to say, but he's very good at what he does.
Yeah.
What he does being a lot.
Yeah.
And it seems,
I was going to say consistency.
Yeah. He's very consistent.
And like, in a good way, because he's really good.
Like if you look at, just for instance, I'm looking at Atletico Ottawa. You know, they have a new coach. We don't know who knows, or they're going to have a new coach. Don't know who it is yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at their roster and you look at their list of departing players. Like, they're pretty much restructuring.
Yeah.
And then, oh, what was that?
Sorry about that. I had an emergency and I had to turn something off and it hit something. My bad.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, continue.
Forge will probably stay Forge.
Well, I was going to say the only two most consistently, like the two teams for the upcoming season that have done the most from last year, that are connected the most to the last season, is Cavalry and Forge.
Yeah, like don't know what's going on with Edmonton, York United, tons of players coming back, tons.
Yeah.
And then they got a little bit of
the change that they have is just they've now got a new head coach. So
they got some players to bring in. Like they lost they're losing a bunch. Like or not a bunch. Well, like, oh, 2, 4, 6, 8, like over a dozen players that they're that could be not coming back, and
that's upwards of like that's over 50%. Like so,
Halifax, same thing. Bunch of players coming back. They're doing a little bit of. Bringing some guys in, some guys not coming back. Pacific, don't know what's going on there. Like, just because.
They haven't announced a lot of their roster yet.
And so, and same thing with Winnipeg Valor. Don't really know what's going on there yet.
Yeah.
Last couple of weeks, they've got a couple of re-signs and stuff like that. And then
they do.
So, and I like the fact that Calgary, like 15 players coming back and then
16.
Or I don't, sorry, it was 17 players coming back total. It was 17.
17, yeah.
Or 15. We're both wrong, sorry, you know, it was 15 coming back to sign in the U Sports draft.
Oh, that's right.
So
that's
it was like 15 players coming back. That's
huge.
That's over half. That's just over. Or that is over half your squad, which is good. And so I just, the long point is, just I like that he was able to bring in for this year, just because, you know, I was a little concerned, just, you know, mostly, you know, COVID, couldn't have a full stadium last year. And so I wasn't sure what, you know, what money was looking like. That's why I'm not surprised to see, you know, like a player like Mo Farsi, you know, you got to make a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he left on a free transfer or if they got, I think he did, or if they got a little bit for him, like if it was a sell. So,
yeah.
You know, I was worried that there would be a ton of players going off to other leagues and stuff.
Yeah.
But, or not even just other leagues, just
other teams,
just not coming, leagues. Just not coming back to Cavalry, and then, you know, boom, 15 players coming back from last year. Like, oh shit, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, that's
do a little tinkering here and there.
Oh, of course, and that'll happen,
and that'll happen for a long time because you know the league is still pretty new and teams do have to, you know, just. I guess, you know, it's, you could look at it at the moment, we're a little bit of a development league, as in, you know, develop players, ship them off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it'll take a while before we can be solidified where players don't have to leave. They can just,
they can have a whole career
here in Canada and make a living doing it.
Well, that's in the books of things to do for the next commissioner, you know. Let's make this league let's see what we can do to, like, players will always come in and go, and that'll always happen.
Of course, yeah.
But let's see if we can make this like a career spot, a destination spot, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Yeah.
So,
that's cool.
I like that. I like what Tommy's been able to do. And I guess now the biggest thing he has to probably fill is like, oh man, he needs another assistant.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah. I'm curious to see.
Well, I just thought of something. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
Nick Ledgerwood hasn't been announced yet.
Hmm. I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. Sure, why not? See if he's willing to take up the reins as an assistant.
I would totally co-sign on that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. I think he could do a hell of a job. He knows the guys. He knows the game. He knows the team. He knows the city. Yeah, that's really cool. I really like that. If we can't have him play, that's where I would want him.
Because he's pretty much like he's not much younger than us.
Yeah, I can't remember how old. He's got to be early 30s at least.
He's 35, 36.
Yeah.
35, I think.
Yeah.
Like he's somewhere in there.
Yeah, I would co-sign that if he wanted to be if he wanted to get into a coaching gig.
He's 37.
Okay, well there we go. So
he's my age.
He's your age. Yeah, I could totally see him. Plus, I mean there will be a time when Tommy Wheeldon Jr. doesn't want to, like, is not our head coach anymore. Maybe remains as a general manager, just as a general manager. But you could see that. I could see him grooming a Nick Ledgerwood to eventually go, like, take him from the assistant coach role into a head coach role, and he becomes head coach of Cavalry FC. You know, that look at the story that would be when that day breaks, where he's like, he goes from player to assistant coach to head coach of one club. Like, that makes my heart full. That's awesome. I love Tommy Wheeldon Jr. I don't want him to go anywhere. So, not for years and years and years. But on that day when he would decide to maybe put someone else in the role, Nick Ledgerwood, he's right there.
Yeah.
But as of right now, yeah, hell yeah. Nick Ledgerwood, assistant coach, why not? I think he could totally do the job. I mean, I have no names for anybody else, so until they announce him in the role or someone else, he's my pie in the sky person in that role right now.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Cool, cool.
Yeah, what, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Where do we go from there?
Well, you know what? I think that's it.
That was a good episode. If this, I'm not saying to anybody that this is the end, but that was a lot. We ran through a lot of stuff, but we had some good conversation too. That was really good. What do you want to just chit chat for the last like 10 or so minutes? Chill out a bit, or
yeah, you know, I think we're good there.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that was that way. We're not like forced to come up with stuff on the fly, and you know, we can. Yeah.
Cool. Where can you had that very nice list at the beginning of places where people could find the show.
Yeah, yes.
Where can people find the show?
Well, aside from the show, we're also on the Facebooks, 90 Minute Life.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Breaker, Castbox, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Stitcher.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And then also we have an email address spelt out, no numbers, 90minutelife@outlook.com.
Mm-hmm. NINETYMINUTELIFE@outlook.com. Yeah, throw in your who's your dream pick for assistant coach on Cavalry FC? Do you think Nick Ledgerwood could do the job? Do you have another name? Let us know.
Oh, yeah.
But this has been an episode. Good conversation. That's been episode 57.
Almost 60.
Yeah. Wow. The podcast is almost at 60 episodes. I'm almost 40. Like, man. But yeah. Thank you everybody for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And we will see you on the next episode.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.